Thank you, Chair. It's only fair that I declare an interest with regard to Tout Quarry. It's a personal and non-prejudicial interest. I've only just realised who owns Tout Quarry, and the owner, in fact, is here. I have done work for his company, Morrison Perry, in the past over at Gurney Slade, not in the last 2 years, so I don't believe there's any prejudicial interest whatsoever.
We will ensure that that is recorded. Any other declarations of interest? No? Thanks for that. So we will move on to the minutes of the previous meeting, which you should have on your machines. So just for accuracy, if you remember, so page 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and finally 22. I knew we were here for a long time at the last meeting, so I think that's a fair reflection of that. Is everybody happy with those minutes? That's fine, thank you. I've not been notified that there is any public questions to be put. The public speakers we have will speak on the individual items. The way that we'll do it is the same as we normally do. The planning officer will present each individual case. We will then have the public speakers. I'll then put it back to the planning officer to answer anything that comes up out of the public contributions. And once that's been done, then we'll open it up to the committee for debate and decision. So the first item on the agenda is Worthy Farm in Pilton. So over to you.
Now it's working. Yeah, right. Yes, Worthy Farm Pilton's application for small-scale building stone extraction to serve a local housing development. Now this will stop working. There we go. The site's located on the edge of Pilton. There's three elements to it. The area of extraction, this area just here, stone with every transported via internal tracks to the red barn for initial processing and storage, and then to the green barn for cutting, after which it'll be transported off the farm using the route up through the edge of the village to Neat Lane to the intended housing development. There was a similar proposal approved in 2016 by the council for the same purpose, supplying building stone for the local housing development. That was on an adjacent site just in here, so essentially they're moving across into the next slice of land. Slightly dull aerial view, essentially showing the same information, site to red barn, to green barn, to the housing in Neat Lane. So a better view now of the actual extraction site. As I say, the previous area was just in here, so there's the next slice of the field. The nearest dwelling occupied by Mr. Wyatt, who is the person who's submitted comments that have been circulated, is not marked on the plan. It's a new house in that area there, so that's the closest neighbour, and obviously further dwellings slightly further away. The green line there is a temporary wall 2 metres high made of hay bales, which is a measure proposed by the applicant to control noise, particularly in the direction of Mr. Wyatt's property. Since the application was submitted, we negotiated reduced hours of operation. Originally, they applied for 8 in the morning till 5 in the evening, which are the hours they were allowed in the 2016 permission. They've now amended those hours to 9 until 4:30, and that's Mondays to Fridays only, no working at weekends. The proposal, say, is to dig stone to a depth of 3 metres. At the end of each day, the extraction area will be backfilled, and then the next working day they would uncover it again, extract the stone. So the actual extraction will probably take place over about 2 hours each day, with other parts of the day taken up by the uncovering and recovering. So some views of the site. So the extraction areas here, that's a heap of topsoil that's been stripped and will be used then in the restoration of the site. The nearest dwelling is that one there. And as I say, there are other dwellings there in the background. That's a view across the previous extraction area now restored.
So could we possibly turn the lights off so we can see it a bit more clearly?
Yes. The building in the background is the Grade 1 listed tithe barn. Then a view across to the access track, which will then be the route to the processing barns. And finally, a shot of the housing developments being built using the blue lias stone, so that development will be continued using the stone from this site. Right, the main issues, again, obviously these are all addressed in detail in your report. I'd say the development will be supplying stone to meet local affordable housing to ensure it's built in to meet the local character. Also the key issue, potential impacts, particularly noise, and you'll have seen noise is the main concern of the, in the comments that have just been circulated. The applicant has introduced further measures, the hay bale wall, the limited hours of working, and measures such as reducing, minimising the distance that stone is dropped into a trailer. These measures have all been considered by the council's acoustics officer, who confirms that, in his view, those measures will be sufficient to control the noise that is not a nuisance to that neighbour. So the operation may well be heard, but it won't be an intrusive noise or excessive noise. In terms of highways, as I say, movement of stone to the processing barns is within the farm. Obviously, the stone will then be taken off-site, either by tractor or trailer or small lorries, for a very short-term temporary period. So, essentially, the permission is seeking a year's operation from when it started, but the understanding is that it'll be around about 15 days out of that year. So it's not a year-long process. It's an intermittent process. So taking all that into account, the recommendation is that planning permission be granted, subject to the conditions set out in your report.
Okay, thank you very much. We don't have a member of the public, I don't think, to speak on this one. The division member is Nigel Cooper. Do you want to speak at this point?
Yep. Thanks, John. I can't refer to the agenda item on here. It's just decided to reconfigure itself. I've not an issue with this application, and to be honest with you, I can't really see any real planning reasons to refuse it. It's been suggested by the chap who's sent in the representation here that it's going to create a lot of noise, but as we've heard, we're only looking at around 15 days over a 12-month period. That said, this does appear to be a retrospective. There has been stone moved from the farm in recent times, and oddly enough, the other week I met two guys in the pub who were actually up at where the currently working, cutting stone out for the proposed housing development. So that tells me that they're kind of cracking on regardless anyway. of course, there's nothing legally wrong with that, morally perhaps. But looking at the application, it's one of those where we don't have objections from statutory consultees. And again, I really can't see a good planning reason for this to be refused. It's not as if it's going to be going on 5 days a week. It's limited to that very short amount of time. So I'm happy to propose we go along, and I propose approval as per the recommendation. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Can I just bring members' attention to that there's a late paper from Mr. Colin Wyatt, which has been circulated to everybody, so can I...
Thank you, Chairman. We're only talking of 153.84 cubic metres of rock. That is absolutely nothing. Your average quarry would accept, vastly accept that on a daily basis. This is a minuscule operation, and I'm only too happy to agree with the previous speaker, and I would second that application. Thank you, Chair.
It's, you know, it's there in front of you. No objections.
Same, really, Chair. I mean, it's a good local story, local housing for local people using local materials. Nothing really to add.
It's just a question, Chair. I don't know if anyone can answer it. Well, Nigel probably will do. How are they extracting this stone? How are they extracting it? It's an interest question, really.
Yes, sorry, it was a slew, essentially an excavator pulling the stone, loading it onto a trailer, and then it's taken over to the barns to be cut into smaller pieces.
So I just don't know what I'm just trying to envision what this slew looks like. So it's actually just...
Yeah, it's a 360-degree excavator, so it traverses around on tracks. It will have an arm, an operating arm, which normally would have a digger bucket on. I suspect they'll have a single ripper hook on there, go into the stone and pull it back on the stone. Then they'll swap, pick up an excavating bucket, pick up the stone from that, or a grab, and then put it on whatever, on pallets or whatever else, how they wish to move it.
So it's quite soft.
It's quite soft, and impact on the ground would be minimal.
Yes. So we've got a proposal and a second that we accept this in line with the officer's recommendation. Can I have a show of hands of those in favour? And that's unanimous. Thank you very much. So we will move on to... bear with me if I find my way up right place on the computer. So the next item, item number six, which is Millbourne Port County Primary School. And again, take it away, please.
Yep, Millbourne Port. The school is on a fairly restricted site within the centre of the village. It consists of the original school building from early 1900s, a stone building, with a fairly substantial modern building separate, and the proposal is to extend that modern building by approximately 6 metres to the east. It will still be separate from the original building. The school site is fairly restricted access via Glover's Close. There is limited staff parking on site, but parents dropping off on the road. It does have the benefit of this roundabout arrangement, so it's easier access in and out than many primary schools. As I say, the proposal there is to put an extra classroom on the end of the modern block with ancillary storage. still 2.5 metres separation from the main school building. Elevations, this lower one is the one facing the road, so that's the extension. So we built in matching materials, same roof materials, same detailing of stone coins around the windows to match the original building. And so there's a photograph, so the original school building on the right, the modern building, so the extension will be to this gable end here coming out approximately 6 metres. And as I say, built in matching materials. In terms of issues, the school has 180 pupils, it's at capacity at the moment, so it requires the extra classroom to create 30 further spaces. We have two objections from local residents on parking traffic issues, the common problem of lack of parking at school drop-off and pick-up times. The additional traffic from this development will be in the region of 6 additional movements. The highways officer considers that's not significant. So while there's no scope to provide parking on site, it's not seen as a major issue in terms of there's only a marginal increase in the traffic over the existing situation. Say design terms, it's being built to match the existing modern building, which itself has detailing such as the stone coins to complement the original building. So taking all that into account, the recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to the conditions in your report.
Again, I don't believe we have any public speakers on this one. We do have a note from Councillor Wallace, who's the local member, saying that he's in favour of this application. So I'll throw it open to the members of the committee for a debate. So does anybody want to kick off, Nigel?
If nobody else wants to kick off, I will. Again, this is one that makes perfect sense to me. We are always going to need more school places. And indeed, schools of Iverson in a fairly large village. All of these village schools need supporting. People complain that there's an increase in traffic, certainly during my village. But a lot of the villages will fight any kind of development, certainly if houses for families are proposed, because they just seem not to want families around, which is somewhat counterproductive. You end up with a circumstance where you have a big influx of people from outside the village twice a day for school drop-off and pick-up, simply because there aren't kids in the village. It's a complete nonsense of a situation. These schools, you know, if they're oversubscribed, that's fantastic. We're always going to need school places, and let's face it, with an ever-aging population, we need to keep as many young people as possible and their families in our rural areas. So categorically 100% in favour of this, and again, happy to propose.
Sorry, there is obviously a bit of a problem there with the parking at the existence. So I would like to know what details they've managed to glean from the travel plan to eliminate any problems, maybe increasing or the existing problems in the future. So I mean, we all know that drop off and pick up time is only twice a day and at certain times, but it is a great vast inconvenience to a lot of the residents who live there, and a lot of the parking is in some instances are very inconsiderate. So I'd be interested to know what they've accepted as the travel plan. Thank you, Chairman.
The application did not include a travel plan, but there is a condition on the committee report, condition 3, recommending that a travel plan be submitted before the classroom is occupied. So yeah, that would be expected to deal yeah, arrangements for parents drop off, encouraging walking, cycling, and provision of adequate facilities for that. So there is no travel ban at the moment, but the planning commission is proposed to require one.
That's the case, but I mean, I'm going to say that.
I just want to ask a question in relation to the travel plan, how enforceable that actually would be, is it, in terms of any action they could take to mitigate the increase in traffic, i.e. the six cars?
It would be enforceable insofar as it requires physical works to be carried out, such as provision of cycle parking, for example. It's not enforceable in terms of forcing parents to carry out particular actions. It's essentially would be a guidance document. It would be setting out the measures that the school would take to encourage parents to act in a particular way, whether that be car sharing, whether it be encouraging children to walk. But it clearly can't say, you know, parents can't act in a particular way.
That's exactly my understanding. In terms of infrastructure, that it would be they would have to do that as part of the travel plan. But in terms of changes in behaviour, it's very difficult to enforce because it's purely trying to encourage people, isn't it? So travel plans are very difficult, I think, in terms of actually changing people's behaviour without other measures being taken. Can I also ask as a general observation question, Chair? Are we able, as part of recommendations, particularly where buildings are concerned, to recommend types of material or the building should be low energy or these sort of areas in light of the recent County Council motion which was agreed that we would be carbon neutral by 2030? Could that be in future, if not in this instance, be considered as part of planning recommendations? I don't know whether Andy Hill can answer that.
There's a general requirement for planning control not to duplicate measures required under other legislation. Energy efficiency of buildings is generally covered by the building regulations, such as standard of insulation, for example. So it wouldn't be appropriate for the planning system to try and duplicate that control. So while we can control, for example, materials in terms of appearance and design, it wouldn't be appropriate to extend that to cover measures that seem more properly dealt with through building regulations.
So as I understand it, we can insist on a travel plan being developed, but the enforcement of the travel plan is probably not something we can do. Is that how I'm understanding it? I've had other instances where green travel plans have been as part of the planning permission. We have a microphone now that seems to be behaving itself. Yeah, so just repeat, the situation with the Green Travel Plan is we can insist that a Green Travel Plan is developed as part of an application, but when it comes to the enforcement of it in operation, we don't have the power to enforce that in any way.
Mark?
Thank you, Chair. I'm a little bit of odds with that, I'm afraid. I do feel that that any other developer in any other situation has to produce a travel plan when there are a certain number of properties involved, if you're talking about a housing development. And that travel plan should demonstrate that under normal circumstances, the way in which people can and would be likely to travel would not impact greatly on current homeowners in this situation and other buildings and users that are actually living around there. So I do feel I'm sort of like drawn to what Tony says. I think it's a wrong conclusion for us to say that, well, it wouldn't make any difference anyway, because I think it would demonstrate clearly to all of us here that there shouldn't be any adverse impacts if that travel plan stacks up and our officers at Highways Development are comfortable with what's being put forward.
I was just going to say that part of a plan ought to be the measures by which the developer or the owner of that plan intends to monitor its performance and implementation. So a rounded plan ought to have those mechanisms as part of the package of it.
Hence my question to the planning officer, Chairman, and I will quote from the agenda. Thereafter, the development hereby, after a plan has been submitted, shall operate in accordance with the approved travel plan or any subsequent variation of the travel plan agreed in writing by the County Planning Authority for the duration of the development permitted. Right, if the planning authority is going to accept the development plan, I've asked the planning officer now, what is an acceptable travel plan for that school? And that's not an unreasonable question to ask in the light of a couple of objections, you know, which there is obviously a problem there with parking. It's not saying I'm against the application, but it's just wanting to know what's what, because I do experience a lot of parking with residents in, you know, outside of schools.
Yeah. Chair, can I just add to that? I mean, I would pose a question why travel plans shouldn't be part of the application that this committee reviews as part of its deliberations, as it were.
We have the chair of the governors of the school here, I think, with us this afternoon, and I'm reliably informed he may be able to shed some light on this debate. So, unusually, I'll allow him to contribute at this point.
Okay, thanks a lot. My name's Rob Lockie. As I said, I'm chair of governors of the school. The governing body and the head teacher are looking at the sort of transport. Certainly not going to sing to you, that's for sure. One thing we're looking at, obviously, there's sort of parents dropping off, picking up in the evening. We are increasing the number of after-school clubs at the school, which will reduce the numbers turning up at the end of the day. But another thing we've got, and we're going to be encouraging parents to do, is you can see a sort of little blue rectangle up at the top of the picture. That's the school swimming pool. There's actually another entrance into the school by that swimming pool. And one of the things we're going to do is to encourage parents that live north of the school, which is quite a few. There's a large housing estate sort of at the north there. So we're going to be encouraging, hopefully, more of the parents to actually come through that gate rather than to come in by the front entrance there, which will mitigate, hopefully, some of the transport sort of risks that we've got coming into the main entrance.
Thank you.
But we are looking at it seriously as a governing body now, because it's something that we want to improve going forward.
Okay, so I'll go back to our plan officer and see if you can shed some light on what would be an acceptable travel plan for this application.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, it would need to be based on evidence, so we would expect evidence that they've surveyed parents, obviously established where children live, what modes of transport they use, the measures that might persuade them to switch modes of transport away from the car, for example. So it's evidence of existing patterns, and then the measures that they would propose to potentially reduce car use through encouraging other modes, as I say, whether that be cycle storage, scooter storage, also any other measures to spread the load. I mean, the Chair of Governors mentioned after-school clubs, obviously breakfast clubs as well, can help spread the times of arrival rather than concentrating on the big hit at 9 o'clock or 3:15 or whatever the particular hours are. And then finally, measures for monitoring what change takes place in access modes and reporting back. So, as I say, it's a question of evidence, the measures, and then the monitoring procedures to see whether the scheme is actually working, and obviously that would inform potentially a review of the scheme and updating. I mean, in terms of enforcement, obviously the County Council can require the scheme to be submitted, can require it to be implemented. So what it can't control is actions of individual parents. If 50% of parents say, oh, we're going to start walking to school, but they don't, you can't go around forcing those children to walk to school. Yeah, that's going beyond the control of the authority. But what we can require is a robust travel plan that's based on the evidence and has suitable measures to encourage more sustainable travel.
Ah, there you are.
Chairman, I'm totally bemused by this. We're talking about travel plans. What we should be talking about is the welfare of our children and our grandchildren, things like that. We're talking about an extension that's smaller than this building, this room that we're in at the moment. Absolute balderdash and rubbish, and I'd like to second the proposal. I really would. I think this total travel plan is a red herring, and we should knock it on the head, because what we should be talking about is the welfare of our children and what's going on. And if the school don't want to build a classroom out of, let's build a classroom. This is desperately needed. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask for it. And I'm sorry, but like the officer has said, people will tend to walk to school, perhaps. But we don't have any control on them. As long as they obey the Road Traffic Act, there is nothing we can do about that. We should be passing this with good measure, and it should be unanimous. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Mike, I completely agree with what you're saying, but I don't feel that without that, in the absence of that travel plan, that I can't make an informed decision. And that really, really cheeses me off, because I am supportive of schools and our children and investing in our children's future. But I just feel that we've got something that's been brought before us where we haven't got a fully rounded, all of the information. It's basic stuff. We should have that. Please, somebody tell me if I'm wrong.
Thanks, Chairman. Page 38 at the top, second paragraph. There is a travel statement that's been submitted with the application, and it says quite clearly here, second paragraph, the submitted transport statement estimates there are currently approximately 37 car arrivals at the start and end of the day. It's estimated that the expansion of the school will lead to an additional 6 cars. It's a negligible amount. It's there. What difference is 6 cars going to make? The inclusion of the travel plan as part of the one of the conditions, whichever condition it was, number 3, I believe, is merely a belt and braces approach. Six cars is going to make no difference there, I'm absolutely sure.
It's really a question for whoever may be able to answer it. Has this need for more places been caused by development within the town? And if so, I think they'd be walking anyway. I don't know where this extra need for children's come from. Is it people? Are you taking on more children from the district, around the district, or is it a housing development within the town cause this?
Yeah, there's two new planning building developments that have been approved that are happening in the village that will equate to about 100 houses. I'm led to believe there's a calculation that will identify that that will trigger 30 children. obviously, we don't know that all 30 will come to our school. There may be a few that will sort of straggle off to sort of neighbouring schools, but experience has shown that 90% of the children in the village come to the village school, so we can expect to get between 20 and 30 of those if it meets the calculation that we're being advised.
Chair, may I just ask one more question too?
Yeah, carry on.
And how far from the school is the crow flies? Because don't forget, if you're using legs, you more or less go as a crow flies. Are these housing developments?
The largest development is about 70 yards away, just up the road. The other one is a little bit further away. But we do have quite a few children that actually sort of cut through the village and walk.
Okay, let's try and bring this to some sort of conclusion then. To try and satisfy everybody, we've got a proposal in a second that we accept this, and I'm not going to vote against it, that's for sure. The travel plan has got to come back for agreement. Can I suggest, to try and keep everybody happy, that the Chair, Vice Chair and Paul Hickson agree that travel plan for the committee's satisfaction? Would that satisfy everybody that we got a travel plan that works?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that totally, and I agree with the application totally. Very supportive of schools and school places, even large schools. But if you've got something on an agenda here, perhaps the policy ought to state that you should have the travel plan with the application. That's a simple way around that one, Chairman, and I just asked what they was going to do, so that's fine.
Coincidentally, Mike and I were just talking to decide about a similar type of approach. Mike's advice is that maybe for proper process we make that consultation with Chair, Vice Chair and local member, and not me as an officer, as given I'm facilitating the process.
Yep. Well, will that satisfy everybody? I see a lot of nods around, so I think we're on the right track. So application as per officer recommendation, with the added proviso that the travel plan comes back to Chair, Vice Chair and the ward member for final agreement. So with that, those in favour? And that's unanimous. Thank you. That took a little longer than I thought it was going to, but still, we're getting there. So, the final application this afternoon is Tout Farm at Charlton Adam. And again, if you'd like to do the presentation, please. Thank you.
Yep. So, Tout Quarry is not currently operational as a quarry, but it does have a stone yard processing stone brought from other quarries. It occupies this area in here. There is a current application for essentially an extension of the quarry into this area, which will be brought to a future meeting. This application is solely to consider an increase to the height of a bund. The other photograph shows things a bit clearer. So this is the former Tout Quarry, now run by Hammond Dotting Stone Quarry, processing cutting stone from elsewhere. To the south is very large concrete block works. The green line is the previously existing buns that I think date from the 1990s. And this length of it was increased in around 2015 to raise the height of the bund to improve the screening of noise and dust from the village, obviously, direct to the north of the bund. It's pretty clear from some of the photographs. So this is looking from outside, from just by the nearest residential properties to the north. So, as I say, there's fairly mature planting on the lower slopes, say, dating from the 1990s, but the site has been raised. Again, the now mature planting. This is obviously the top of the bund. More recent planting, in particular Leylandii, which I'll come back to. And a view from inside the site. So this is the stone yard, and the bunding question there at the rear of the building, with obviously the dwellings beyond. So this is a retrospective application. I submitted in 2016, but remained undetermined. So we now brought it before committee. As I say, the purpose of the bund, again, is to screen the houses to the north from noise and dust from the stone yard activity. And also obviously provides a visual break. There is an objection from the property to the north in terms of the proximity of the bund to them and the height. But as we saw from the photograph, so the nearest dwelling is just in there, I think, 10 metres away from the base of the bund, but obviously the bund slopes away. And our view is, at that distance, the increase in height doesn't have any material effect on that property. So again, you can see down into the garden from the top of the bund, there is a fair degree of separation and is actually providing benefits for those properties. So obviously planting has been carried out. I mentioned the Leylandii, and I think that was put in for a quick impact, I gather. So our suggestion is to remove that and replace with more native species, to which we've proposed two amendments to the conditions. So your report has a single condition about landscaping. We'd omitted the condition we need specifying the drawings to be approved, so that will be inserted as condition one, this part. And then the other condition, to be renumbered as condition two, which is requiring a scheme for the maintenance of the planting. We're adding the reference to the removal of the Leylandii and replacement of the native hedgerow species. And that scheme does require replacement of any tree planting that dies or becomes diseased over the next 5 years. So, as I say, while there is an objection, we feel that there's no reason not to recommend approval of the application, subject to those amended conditions.
Thank you very much. Again, I don't think we have any public speakers on this one, so I'll throw it open to Councillor Keating.
Thank you, Chair. That was my only comment. Please get rid of those awful Leylandii. I'm more than happy with this, and I'd like to propose we accept it.
One happy member already, so we're going to get rid of the Leylandii and put something a bit more appropriate there. Was that a proposal, Mark?
It was.
There was a proposal, okay. Anybody else have anything to say? I'll be looking for a seconder as well.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Right. Right.
Absolutely right.
Get rid of
the Leylandii.
It's
the best thing.
I just need to highlight the late paper.
You
need
to speak up.
Sorry, just need to highlight the late paper.
It's actually on the screen, but we have got a late paper in front of us as well, just for you to take into account. But I don't think that's particularly controversial, because I think it talks about the removal of the Leylandii anyway, which is what we're talking about. So that's fine. John, sorry.
Sorry, I'm just reading this new recommendation about removal of existing Leylandii, and I wonder why it says
hedgerow species? Because does that not limit the species that could there? Could it not just be replaced with native species? Because hedgerow species implies that it's purely trying to establish a hedgerow in turn, and it's not about trees necessarily, is it? I just wonder if you could change that with native species, really. Because it's actually about getting trees up there, which are... It may be, but I'm sure the developer would also want to... That might suit them, but it wouldn't suit me.
It's a very good
personally.
Idea.
Thank you.
Very good idea.
Yes,
so I'd like to propose the deletion of hedgerow species. Do you want a second?
Yes, if members wish, we could delete that one word, yeah.
Okay, so it appears we have general unanimity around the table. So, with the slight amendment that we'll change it from hedgerow species to native species, just to keep our green member very happy, so that'll be fine. So, those in favour, and that again is unanimous. Thank you very much indeed. That's the end of the business for today. Just before you go. I'll just ask Paul to give us an update on what we might expect next month. So just bear with us a second.